Well, good morning, and thanks for joining us. My name is Sean Branton. I'm one of the co-lead pastors here, along with Jeff McLeod here in the middle. And we've also invited Adam Knowles, who is our Kitchener site pastor, to join us this morning. And he also served you as your interim lead pastor for about half of this past ministry year. So we thought that was a good reason to bring Adam along with us as well on this Sunday that we're calling Vision Sunday. But before we get to that, let me just recap for a second. We've been in a message series over these past 6 weeks or so that we've been calling Rebuilding. And we've been looking at the book of 1 Peter in that message series. Because the book of 1 Peter really reads like a guidebook for Christian living to a group of believers who were in a situation where their faith was often persecuted, rejected, intolerated in the world and the society that they were living in. And that's a situation that is not really that different from what we see when we head outside of the doors from here and in our world today. And so, instead of hiding out and giving up on their faith, Peter really encourages them to hang on and to dig into the gospel hope which unites them. And to boldly engage in the mission of that gospel, to go out into the world and to demonstrate God's goodness and love for those that are around them. So we just have really enjoyed being in that series. That kind of thing happens best when it begins in the innermost parts of us. When God really hits into our hearts and begins to transform us from the people that we were before we encountered Christ to people who have stepped into this new life. And so we've talked about being committed to Christ. We've talked about walking in obedience, which leads to that kind of transformation, even if it's sacrificial, even if it's costly. We've talked about the difference between going to church and being the church. And we've talked about moving from belief to conviction, where we actually begin to see the kinds of things that we believe being lived out in our everyday lives. Now, you might have thought that a series that was called Rebuilding was about WB and coming out of COVID and new lead pastors and a new ministry year. And well, it wasn't not that. But, we're all learning how to navigate what the church looks like today in this semi-post-pandemic kind of reality that we're in. And, there's no roadmap for this. We can't just go and grab the playbook from the last global health crisis and flip to page 45 and sort of just redo everything we saw there. There is no playbook for that. But what we do have is we have God's Word and we have the Holy Spirit, and both of those are guiding us in how we should be living. And so that's where we want to root our expectations. That's where we want to get our playbook, if you want to call it that. And so, in fact, I wonder, Jeff, if we could start with sharing with us what we believe is a prophetic word for WMB Church that comes from Scripture that was shared with us recently.
Yeah, we were in a meeting with a previous leader here at WMB who's been here for a long time and led through a lot of different things. And she shared with us what we all feel was a word from the Lord, and it was based out of Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 6 to 7. It says, "The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast to the land of the Canaanites, to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates.'" I have a hard time with that word. And as we were pondering this word, this concept of it's time to break camp. I don't know how many people here know this, but the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, ended up on Mount Sinai, or as the NIV is talking, Horeb. It's the same thing. And they lived on Mount Sinai in Horeb for around 2 years. So what happens when you get settled in somewhere for around 2 years? Right? You get settled. You start to make some roots and you start to develop patterns in life that help you to feel more comfortable, more secure. But now, God's calling them in this security to be disrupted, to break camp, to just step outside. It's time to move. How many people love that message? It's time to move, right? My wife loves it, right? Now, what do you do when you have to move? What's one of the first things that you have to do? Well, often what you need to do is go through your stuff and figure out what you're going to throw out, what you're going to keep, and what you're going to leave behind. We believe, folks, that this is exactly what God is saying to us here at WMB, to break camp, to let go of the past and move forward into the future, to let go and to go where God wants us to be. And we started this process quite a while ago, actually. Before I showed up, Sean was here in a different capacity, but we started this a while ago. And so, Adam, could you share a little bit of the beginning of us starting to live out this prophetic word?
Yeah, for sure. I don't know about you, but when I think about this journey that we've been on, and I think back to a year ago today, at our last AGM, and where we were as a church and where we were going, the kind of season that we were in, it's actually a little bit hard to imagine. We were in the midst of leadership transition. We were just getting used to the idea of having live services again in church and looking forward to what would happen. But we were in a season of discernment. Our church was courageously, I'll say, exploring what a change in leadership structure could look like and why we would do that, and unsure of how that would work out, considering a messy process going forward. But that's what God was calling us to, and to be faithful to that. And that was a search for co-lead pastors. And that was a search for what God was calling us towards. And so as I was thinking about this and where we were a year ago, and a season of preparation, right? For us on staff, it was a time of careful consideration. It was a time of caring for one another. It was a time in some ways of healing and asking God, like, what are you calling us to be as a pastoral staff? In what ways have we missed the mark? And in what ways can we move forward in ways that are obedient and faithful and bring joy and care for our congregation? And so as I consider that, I'm like overwhelmed with gratitude and thanksgiving for the ways that God's provided us. He's brought us co-lead pastors, which I am so tremendously thankful for both of you. He's brought new passion to our pastors and our directors and our staff here at the church. And I think partly out of this new model, partly out of the many questions that we've been asking and considering and praying about, a new spirit of collaboration between ministries, a joyfulness in sharing what God is doing in and amongst us. And he's providing ways that he is calling us forward. And that is so exciting to see. And a big part of that is as well, is a real affirmation that we are a royal priesthood together, the church, all of us gifted, called into ministering to the world around us and to one another. And so we're so excited about what that looks like for us to move forward with thanksgiving, with praise and vision for the future.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. That's been such a necessary and an important work. And I know it's not always seen. It's the one that's a little bit behind the scenes. But we'd invite you to continue to pray with us and for us as we lead into the next steps and into this next season. We've called today Vision Sunday because we want to introduce some intentional language and some direction that you will hopefully be seeing and hearing a lot of around here. Language that will help us to easily communicate our focus as a church and pieces for the plan moving forward from today. We've been looking at our current language, our vision and our mission statements, and seeking clarity in terms of what is WMB all about. And so perhaps a really good place to start that conversation is with our vision statement. So Jeff, I wonder if you'd share a little bit more about that.
Yeah, our vision statement, as I was even in the candidating process looking at this statement, like, what is it that WMB is striving to be, pushing to be? What is it that the Lord has called us? What's the mark that he's given through Jesus Christ? And that statement is this: to be people transformed by Jesus Christ with faith to change the world. How many people knew that was the vision statement of the church? I think it was formed in the 1990s, somewhere in there. How many were not even born yet? Yeah. To be people transformed, and so as we were pondering this, it really became obvious that transformation is the key to this vision statement. But not just transformation, not just being changed, but being transformed by Jesus Christ. Because there's a distinct difference between just making a change in your life compared to the transforming work of the cross in your life. And so we really believe that this concept of being transformed by Jesus Christ is the key to this vision statement. And there's some different theological ways that we can look at this vision statement. And so if your brain is anything like mine and it automatically goes in that theological direction, you need to start to unpack for yourself, like, what does this mean out of God's word to be transformed by Jesus Christ? And there's two theological concepts that are sort of saturated in this statement. As some of you have probably heard some of them, this concept of justification and sanctification, these two specific trajectories that God puts us on in a process of salvation. And justification, well, justification is kind of the easier but yet more complicated one. And that is that right standing with God. And so that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are transformed by legal nature. So we are now made right with God, even though our lives may not be functioning like they're right with God. Now, this is a beautiful theological concept because it means that God now sees you and I as holy and righteous. Because he's viewing us as being justified through the lens of the cross, through Christ. And so Jesus did the work for us, transforming us into being, to use a hymn, without spot or wrinkle. Awesome, eh? I know the odd hymn here and there. Anyway, I can't tell you what hymn that is from. But anyway. And then there's this other concept. So we have this legal standing of being justified because we've accepted Christ. We now, what the Bible says, believe that Jesus was who he said he was. And then there is this concept of being sanctified, this sanctification, which is really our daily practice of becoming more and more like Jesus. So this is this trajectory of being made right with God, and then there's this squiggly line that points you toward becoming more and more like Jesus. And that's the kind of transformation that changes the world. So it's not just our right standing with God that actually leads to the kind of faith that can change the world. It's actually the church becoming more and more and more like Jesus. And the more we reflect Jesus Christ, the more we affect the world around us.
Yeah, reflect and effect. That's cool. I agree, Jeff. This is still a great statement. And, you know, it's still that preferred vision of the future, the dream that we're all aiming towards as followers of Jesus. But let's dive in a little bit. Let's get a little more practical and let's start to answer the question of, well, what does this kind of transformation look like here at WMB? God's desire has always been to be in relationship with his people. And so as you dig into that, it becomes really obvious that, you know, everything is about discipleship. And now I know discipleship is kind of a churchy word. Maybe you've got some bad feelings about it, but let me give you just a really simple definition of discipleship that might help you to translate that. We really like this definition of discipleship. It goes like this. It's someone who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. And we've chosen three phrases to help us paint a picture for our life and our mission together as a church, one that is committed to this everything is about discipleship kind of idea. And these are to know the truth, to be the church, and to love the least. And we got a little picture of it up on the screen there. As you can see by the image, the cross of Jesus is at the center here because it's all connected to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And what we hope with these three phrases, along with our vision statement, is it will give us a way in sort of a big picture, 30 seconds or less kind of way to tell someone, well, what is WMB Church all about? We're about knowing the truth, being the church, and loving the least. Now, we want to add a little bit further description to some of these for today. So let me just begin here with this know the truth. We spoke back in the spring of this year about God's vision for the church. And we used the book of Acts, and specifically Acts chapter 2, to frame our messages in that series. There's helpful guidance there that can really help us to have more description to add to each of these three areas. So you'll see here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." So under our category of know the truth, the kinds of things that you can expect here at WMB in that area would be things like biblical teaching. We as your pastors, we are committed to digging into scripture, teaching from the text. We're looking to understand how the original readers would have understood that text and how it can still be read by us today and apply to our lives today. Another aspect of this is that we need to continue to emphasize the importance of rooting our identity in being loved children of God, and that we are adopted into God's family, the big C church, by coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And in a world today that in so many ways is facing an identity crisis, it's so important that we uphold and maintain this important distinction of our faith. Next there, you know, we've got one more thing that we see just quickly in this scripture today, and that's prayer. And we want you to know that as your pastors, your leadership board team, this is an area that we've recognized for some time now that God is calling us to really dig into and to really make a priority. So church, can we be a place and can we be a people of prayer? Now that's just a super quick snapshot of that one area. But Jeff, I wonder if you'd share just a little bit about the Be the Church area.
Yeah, for sure. And this keeps us within this passage in the book of Acts. We can find a lot of these concepts outside of the book of Acts as well, especially as you journey through some of Paul's writings, as he gives the different churches directions and instructions on how to be the church, how to know the truth, how to love the least, all of those aspects. And so in Acts chapter 2, continuing in verse 46 and 47, it says, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts." Think about that for a second. Every day is Sunday, right? Like, or Saturday, or we're not exactly sure what day this is. But every day they meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. But doing what? Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And then what is the result of them doing this? "And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved." Now, there's a couple quick things that I want to highlight here about this whole concept of being the church. I could spend hours upon hours upon hours unpacking our ecclesiology, our study, or our understanding of the church. But I want you to understand something. I know that there's a lot of books that have been out there that say we've got to become the Acts 2 church, and the only way to become the Acts 2 church is to meet in homes, because that's what the early church did. They met in homes and small groups and things like that. The problem is that's not actually what the text says. They met in large groups, they met in medium-sized groups, and they met in small groups in homes. If you look historically at the church, they were pushed into homes through persecution. So they lost their large gathering and they had to shift. They had to change. Does that sound familiar at all? Like losing the large gathering and having to shift and having to change. And so they moved into homes, but it was persecution that drove them there. The concept is this, that they met together to worship, to praise, and then to enjoy one another. Isn't that beautiful? This meeting together to give praise, to celebrate the work of God in our lives. And then what they did was they then broke bread together. And so, like, it wasn't just about attending a large gathering or a medium gathering or a small gathering. It was actually about the way that you interacted with one another and that that would continue outside of that gathering. And so they broke bread with one another. They had, like, Christian chicken. They practiced. Now, this is really interesting. They practiced what we today would call the sacraments. I'm not sure that they would have called it that back then, but they practiced the sacraments. Now, how many people are familiar with the Salvation Army Church? Yeah, a couple. Okay, I got lots to talk about. The Salvation Army Church has dedicated themselves to doing good works, to caring for the poor and the widows and the orphans and so on and so forth. And if you were to talk to the Salvation Army, whatever they're called, major or... Pastor, they would say we never meant to be a church. As a matter of fact, we still push against the concept of being a church. And do you want to know what they did to distinctly say we're not actually a church? They omitted the sacraments. You ever notice that about a Salvation Army Church? They don't practice communion, baptism, child dedications. Some are progressively starting to, because I think they now in a modern day are sort of just accepting that people view them as a church. But it's the sacramental aspects of the church that are a big part of actually being the church. We practice these things together for a reason. Now, let me shift pages here. The church, as I spoke about not that long ago, fits into God's mission. And what that mission is for the church, God's people, his body, to be a blessing to the world. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in 2 weeks. Stephanie here is going to be here and talking about Shalom, and then I'm going to be talking about God's mission. But anyway, the church is to be a blessing to the world. So not only do we meet to grow as disciples in large and medium and small gatherings, we also are called to do radical good works in order to be a blessing to the world, to our community, and to one another. The church is called to love one another, to love the least of these. And so, Adam, can you explain that next section?
Yeah, I'd love to. Love the least. And these are taken directly from the words of Jesus. If you look at Matthew 25, you have Jesus talking to a large group of people, explaining to them what it looks like to enter the kingdom of God and how who enters. What are the criteria? What does that look like? And he talks about those who give drink to those who are thirsty, those that feed the hungry, those that care for the naked, giving them clothing, and visit those that are in prison. And he says in verse 40, he says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Church, this is... been a call that I know has been on our hearts as WMB for many, many years, and we see this expressed so wonderfully so often and for so many years through our Barnabas missions. And here in our verses from Acts, this same passage, we see the earliest church and how they lived this out in a radical way. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. They're living out the cause of Jesus as the center of what they're doing. And they're doing it in unity. They're doing it together. And they're being a blessing to the world around them. And that's what we mean when we talk about loving the least. It's our desire and it's our passion to follow Jesus and caring for others, to see them experience long-term flourishing. And you're going to hear more about this in our next series, the one that Jeff was just referring to, as we consider how we do that well, how we bring long-term flourishing, and how we love the least. So I'm excited for us in that.
Yeah, I think we could have a much longer discussion in each of these areas, but in the short time we've had just to introduce them to you today, I hope that it will help us to both understand and to share with others in that bird's eye view kind of way, what is WMB all about? In fact, our staff team is heading away beginning tomorrow onto a retreat. We've planned to continue to develop this language, and we plan to look at how these can be implemented and integrated into our various ministry areas. So pray for us for the next couple of days as we're away together. Next, we'd like to share with you just a little bit as a community of what's happening on the ground. Some of the strategies, some of the next steps of what this rebuilding will look like and feel like around here. And we just want to say right up front, you know, we don't have all of the answers and all of the plans for this. Any leader who tells you they do is probably not being very honest. But, you know, just as fellow believers, as leaders in our community, our job is to work really hard at helping us to get to this next season and to rebuild through these next steps that we have some ideas and some plans for. So let me share just really good news first. We've already mentioned it, how good it is to see our Sunday morning gatherings, our other gatherings like our children's ministry, youth, young adults, seniors, Bible studies, all of these things up and running and to full capacity and growing. And we hope to continue to see that going on. But remember that Sunday, all of these other things that I've mentioned, it's just a piece. It's a part of the bigger picture. And, you know, we shared along with you in this First Peter series that we need to be these Monday to Saturday believers also, or like Jeff's kind of alluded to, you know, gathering every day in some way, because that's what it means to be the church, and that's what it means to have this holistic view of everything is about discipleship. We can gather in all kinds of different sizes and shapes and structures and add that to what we do individually, where our real desire there is to dig deeper, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, as the Bible says. To be in community together both inside and outside of this building. Now listen, what we're not saying here is we're going to be a program-centric church. What we're not saying here is we're just going to be busier. We're going to do more stuff. We want to grow as a community of Jesus followers, and we want Jesus to lead us in shaping what that looks like. Now, that's, again, super quick snapshot, but Adam, I wonder if you'd talk to us just a little bit more about what's been taking shape at the Kitchener site. Tell us about some of the new work that you and Mike Burgess, who was our former young adults pastor and has recently stepped into a new role, what's going on there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm thrilled to see how God's moving in Kitchener, the journey that we've been on. Yeah, all along at Kitchener, we've been asking the question, we've been going to God saying, all right, we're here, we're in Kitchener, you've gathered your people here, and we believe, we're convicted that it's for a purpose, that you've gathered your people here in a particular time and place. And we've been seeking God out in that. In the spring, in March, we gathered and we had a day of prayer. We prayed for our church. We prayed for the community around us. And we asked the Holy Spirit to speak to us and guide us in the purpose and the calling that he had for us. And we had a time of sharing with one another. And then a couple weeks after that, we gathered again and we walked out in our community and we prayed. And we asked the Holy Spirit to open our eyes and to place a love and a burden on our heart for our neighborhood. And we came back and we shared. And there was a common theme. There was a common theme, and that was that we were placed downtown, and we could see both beauty, and we could see so much need around us, and God calling us towards that. And when you ask God to speak a word into your heart, the next step is faithful obedience, to not just walk away. And so our next question was, God, what does that look like? How do we serve those who are street involved? How are we a blessing in this neighborhood? And we've seen fruit from those questions. We now have brought Mike on as a Barnabas missionary in Kitchener full-time to work on relationships with those that he's had downtown for many years, relationships with agencies that are around us that we can partner with, and to lead us and guide us as a congregation in caring for those in our neighborhood around us. Not that Mike does it, not that Mike is the answer, but the Holy Spirit would guide and lead all of us in being equipped and gifted and called to serve our community. And so we're excited about what that will mean, what relationships we will strike up with agencies around us, how we can be a blessing to them and those that they serve, and how we do this together as a church, how it's all of us going out and being a piece of the kingdom, a foretaste of God's kingdom here on earth, right in Kitchener. If you want to hear more of that story and Mike's testimony, mine, and the story of the Kitchener sites in that, you can see that on YouTube. We have now posted there the video of that message on rebuilding our purpose from Kitchener site where we share that story. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. And if you are interested to hear a little bit more about how we're working with the staff team and some of the internal structures, you can come tonight to the AGM because we're going to unpack some of those layers of transitions. Are you ready for some of the good stuff? Not that these guys didn't have good stuff, but, you know, I've got all the good stuff. Yeah. We've been talking a little bit about Barnabas. And how many know what Barnabas is here at the water? Okay, so most of you, some of you don't. Just hold on for the ride a little bit. Historically, our Barnabas ministry has essentially been something that Wayne does, that Steph does, that Naveen does, that Mary Ellen does, and now that Mike does. And then we as a church have historically rallied around them by supporting them in their ministries and within the communities that they work in, both financially and at times coming alongside them to help them with different programs and different things like that. And this has been awesome. This has been something that WMB has been known for years. But if we're going to come off the mountain, it means that we need to begin to look at some of this a little bit differently. And so we've been really seeking the Lord's guidance in this. What Wayne does, what Steph does, what Mary Ellen does, and what Naveen and Mike do, each of us are also called to do as a transformed community. So Barnabas needs to be moved from sort of something the church does to the center of who the church is. Now, let me unpack that for a second. First of all, I think we've sold the person Barnabas a little short here. Because when you study Barnabas, he wasn't just an encourager. Barnabas was also a discipler and an evangelist. He was somebody who was willing to sacrifice self for the sake of others. And so we would like to move Barnabas from the sidelines to the center of what WMB does, because we're a kingdom of priests. We're all called to serve others through love and compassion. Barnabas is WMB's expression of God's kingdom come, God's kingdom here on earth, where his will is done. This means it's no longer going to be just a person serving in a community. It's the church coming alongside a community to share Christ, to become friends with the people around us, and to serve them with the love of Jesus. Mike's new role is part of this. Of course, we're going to come alongside agencies. We need to develop better relationships with other agencies that are doing amazing work in our community. But it's also helping disciple our church, our community, in how to go about interacting with street-involved people. Barnabas, folks, is about being a place for people to serve with purpose. And so I want you to remember that. Barnabas is a place that is going to help to become people who serve with purpose. And so there's going to be more rolling out, lots to come with that area. Now, there's a couple other different things that we've been looking at, and this all fits with all of this, is what are we doing with these amazing facilities that we have? We have these two gigantic buildings here in Waterloo and in Kitchener. We're fortunate to have these facilities, but they are drastically underused. If you're here working on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you'd recognize what it is. I mean, sometimes there's a study happening in the chapel or different things, but these facilities are really drastically underused. So how could we use our facilities for the purpose of the kingdom and use our facilities strategically to share the gospel with our region? Well, there's a few different things that we have been exploring, and I do emphasize exploring, so don't run 100 miles an hour with some of this stuff yet, but they are things that we are seriously exploring. Like, for instance, here at the Waterloo site, the possibility of a childcare center that could service 80 to 90 families. One of the biggest needs, as we've been doing research in our community, one of our biggest needs is actually childcare. Did you know that the average childcare center in the Waterloo region has a wait list of over 250 on their wait list right now? So if you want to get into childcare in this region, and I know this firsthand because my wife is a childcare director, good luck. Because it's just not there. So imagine if we used our facility to serve over 80 families each day with Christian-focused, play-based learning to help families in our region. We can share Jesus with the kids and their families, and these are families that we just wouldn't normally interact with. And it connects all of our ministries really well, because we could serve our refugee families to help them to be able to take employment, and we could handle taking care of their kids. And it also could improve our facilities for our church-based children's programs as well. So this is one of the things that we're exploring, that we're dreaming about a little bit at the Kitchener site, the possibilities of drop-in programs where we could use our facility to serve families, to help prepare their kids to get into school, families that wouldn't normally be able to access other services, so that we can have their kids come and be socialized together and to just prep them with the different needs for schools. And that fits with some of the other Barnabas programs that we work with, where we give backpacks to kids and we get them prepped for the upcoming school year. We could help new parents. How many know that there's challenges to that? Another big initiative that we're exploring, I think we're moving beyond exploring this one, is mental health initiatives. We believe that the church can be part of speaking into the mental health challenges that our world is facing today. And so the board has already passed a motion and given us the ability to begin the process of looking to hire somebody with mental health credentials, a mental health professional, to come alongside us to begin the process of developing a strategically a Christian approach to helping those who are struggling with both their mental and spiritual health.
Amen.
The church can and should, yeah. The church can and should address these challenges with a holistic approach to the whole person. This movement into mental health, folks, I need you to understand something. This is really, really important. This is not just starting programs. We don't know what all that's going to look like. Us moving as a church into this holistic approach to serving the whole person, it changes the DNA of who we are. Because it becomes part of our DNA as a church. We'll be open to talk about it, to knock down barriers and stigmas that surround mental health in our society. And we'll do that here from the front on Sunday mornings in all of our programs. Our staff will be trained in mental health first aid and suicidal ideation. We'll help to educate our church and serve families in the church and our community around these different challenges. Folks, we want to bring Jesus to the center of all of our ministries and make a difference in our world. And so these are just a few initiatives that will help us to better utilize our facilities to offer deeply needed family-oriented soul care services. These things can help us become the whole person that God wants us to be.
I agree. Amen. You know, I love how you shared how Jesus is at the center of all of this. And our desire is to see all of these ministries being brought back to the center because, you know, back to the person and mission of Jesus himself. It's all about Jesus, friends. You know, I know that this has been an unusual kind of Sunday morning or an unusual Sunday morning message. And what do we do with this, right? And, you know, it's a rallying cry, friends. I pray that it encourages you. And I pray that it's not that you're listening and you go, oh, yeah, I'm on board with these guys and their stuff. But would you hear Jesus today? Would you hear his heartbeat for us as individuals, for us as a church, for us as a family? And would we begin to rally in an encouraging and an optimistic about the future that God is leading us towards kind of way around these three phrases: know the truth, be the church, and love the least. None of them stand alone. They're connected to one another. All of them depend on Jesus. He is our cause. He is our center. I'd love to invite you again, like Jeff said, to our AGM, our annual general meeting. We've got lots of acronyms. It's not a car brand. Later this afternoon, we'll do the necessary business, but we'll also be discussing in just a little bit more detail some of these next steps as we head into the new ministry year. As the worship team comes, I wonder if we could close in prayer. Well, Jesus, we surrender all of this to you. All of this is about you. All of this is for you. And we ask that in everything that you'd be the cloud by day and the fire by night that's guiding us. As the scripture says in Proverbs, we want to trust you with all our hearts. We want to rely not on our understanding, but in everything we acknowledge you. Would it be you, Jesus, making our path straight? Would it be you who guides us both in heart and mind? And would it be you, Jesus, who gets all the praise, all the glory, for you alone deserve it? We pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.